Good morning. It's good to be back with you. This year is very different to last year. I think it is anywhere in the world. But it's so great that you guys are still having this celebration and celebrate missions and all God's doing. I keep hearing amazing stories, even in the midst of a virus, of what God's doing all over the world. It's just so exciting that God is still moving and not even a virus can stop him. So I would like us today to spend some time, and you can turn in your Bible to it, to what's probably considered the premier passage on missions, Matthew chapter 28. So we will be in that passage, Matthew 28, and we'll be talking about God's great commission to us. But I want us to think of it in this way. Is it something that we would consider a divine suggestion or a divine command? Because we live in a time of suggestion, don't we? A life of suggestion. Take, for example, I'll make it personal, the speed limit. Okay, so in Texas, we have a lot of spots that are 75, all right? And so a friend of mine in Houston who is a highway patrolman, I said to him, so like how rigid is that 75 thing, you know? What are you, like when are you going to come after me? And he said, I'll spot you 10. Like up to 85, I'm going to. Now, if you've driven in Houston, you'll understand. All right? If you go 85 in Houston, you'll feel like you're standing still. I mean, they're flying past you. So he said, I'll spot you 10. So I said, okay. So 75 is sort of a suggestion. And I don't know how many of you, the speed limit is like that. It's a suggestion. Or is it a command, and you just don't go any faster than that? What about medical advice? Okay, so I'm a type 2 diabetic, and when I was diagnosed, the doctor said to me, never eat a donut. Like Krispy Kreme does not exist in your world. That was 8 years ago. So what do you think? That's been a suggestion or a command in my life? Well, around my wife, I have to make it a command. But when she's not looking, it becomes a suggestion. This is the part of the world we live in. In dating and marriage, right? We want to say to young people when you date, now here are some things you should really do. These are important if you want to have a healthy, glorifying relationship. But young people don't want us to tell them that, right? You can, mom and dad, that's old-fashioned. You can tell us some suggestions, but don't tell us what to do. Moral choices today have become suggestions. But what do we do when it comes to God's Word? Oh, we might be tempted to say, well, we don't live in the Old Testament anymore. You know that Old Testament was all those commands. We live in the New Testament. It's all about grace and freedom. Well, is that true? Jesus, the last thing he did before he went to be with the Father was give the command that we read in this passage, Matthew 28. And we have to think, even for us today, for First Baptist O'Fallon, for each one of you, you have to think through, was this a suggestion? Or is it really a command? So let's read it together. I think it'll be up on the screen for you. But if you have it in your Bibles, that's great too. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. He has a problem. We start that great commission where I started. I skipped right over verse 18, didn't I? And I jumped to verse 19, the part we know well. Go, right? There's all these unreached people. Go to them and make disciples and baptize and teach and do all these things. And I can make it very much about me and going and what I'm supposed to do. But that's the wrong place. Jesus didn't start his conversation, he didn't start his command with go. He started it in verse 18. Verse 18, when he begins speaking, he says, the first words he says is, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. That is a place where we have to start. So you've got to start thinking it to yourself as you hear the word this morning, as you hear missions this whole week. What is that authority in my life? Or is it a suggestion? So let's think about that term, that phrase, all authority. Because one of the most important things all authority means, and I saw this very clearly in my life on the mission field, it tells us that missions begins with God. We think it's us, right? Hey, we're going to Scotland, or we're going to Mexico, or we're going, and God, would you join us and would you bless us while we're in Mexico? Then you're starting in the wrong place. You've got to start with God. Mission starts with Him. You joining Him, He's not joining you. He's reaching the world and we join Him. So all authority makes us start with God. It reminds me of where I think mission starts in the Bible. And I think it starts in Genesis chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, you have Adam and Eve. They're trying to hide from God. They've sinned. And when people sin, do they run to God and say, oh, God, forgive me? No, we do the opposite. When we sin, we hide away. Oh, maybe God didn't see it. And you know, I need to stay away from God. And so the lost people of the world, they're not running to Jesus. They're far from Him. So I love, this is a start of missions. In this passage in Genesis, man doesn't move towards God. God moves towards man, right? God seeks them out. They're hiding in the garden. He comes and says, where are you? And God takes the initiative to restore the relationship of lost man to Himself. We have to do that with missions. We won't change this world. We won't change this county and the state and the land we love and the world if it's man-centered. If we just go ahead and jump to go and it's all about us going, but we don't get the God-centered part right. Missions must start with God. This came so clear to me about, let's see, when was this one? I've got four boys. My second son is a daredevil. Like, whatever the highest tree is, that's the tree he's going to climb. He's doing whatever is the most dangerous. So he's already had surgery on four continents. Okay, he's got something unique. So one of those, he was having surgery on his knee in Istanbul. So he and I had to leave because the country we were serving in, a Muslim country, their medical was not reliable. So when you had to have surgery, you needed to go to a good place. And Turkey has very good surgeons. So we went to Istanbul, and if you know the city of Istanbul, it's a fascinating city. You should put that on your bucket list, to go to Istanbul. 20 million people in one city. 20 million people. But you know that it's in Europe and Asia. Half of those people live on one side, Asia, and the other half live in Europe. And there's this huge river called the Bosphorus that separates those two. 20 million. Our biggest city in the U.S. is New York, with about 13 million. Just Istanbul has 20 million. So my son was having surgery on the European side, but the guest house I was staying in was on the Asian side. So every morning I would catch a bus down to the water's edge, and every day throughout the day, there are these ferries that are taking people back and forth from the Asian to the European and back again. 400 people on a ferry, and they just are going, passing each other. It takes you 15, 20 minutes to cross over to the other side. So each morning I would go down and get on with all these other people. And I was standing one morning at the back drinking. They give you these little glass cups of tea to drink while you cross over. And I was standing at the back of the ferry, and I was looking at the horizon, at the city, the Asian over here, European side over there. And I thought, Lord, 20 million people? What can I do? I'm one believer. I'm one Christian. And most of these are Muslims. They don't want to hear about you. What can I do with 20 million people? And I felt depressed. I was down. I felt weak. I felt hopeless. And then God, the Holy Spirit, began to convict me. And he said to me, why do you think you're alone? Why do you think it's your mission? You and I are a majority. And God began to impress on me that his heart is for these 20 million people. It's his burden to reach them. And I'm simply joining him. He was inviting me to say, I'm thinking about all these people, but today I'm inviting you to think about some. You'll meet some today. Would you think about them? And as I traveled, as I crossed over and the Holy Spirit began to convict me, I got to the other side and my whole vision for Istanbul was suddenly God-centered. When I'd got on the ferry, it was man-centered. It was all about me and what I could do. But I got off on the other side with a whole new confidence. And I said, okay, Lord, I got to take a taxi to the hospital. Who are you giving me to talk to today? Changed everything. When we make missions, God-centered. It's his mission. He'll reach the world, and he doesn't fail. He will reach the world. My job is to say, am I following his command to join him? Or am I just going to make it a suggestion? I've got to think through that very carefully. Well, what else does this word all authority mean? Because it certainly means that I must start with God. But it also means a few other things. In this particular word that's used in the Greek language here has other parts of meaning. So it does mean, yes, it must begin with God. But it also has the meaning of power. That there's power behind that authority. That word is not just, I'm telling you to go, but I hope you're successful. The authority God gives when he tells us to go and reach the world, there's power behind that. I think of that in terms of what he said in Acts 1 verse 8. The other form of the way he gave this, recorded in Acts by Luke, is Acts 1 verse 8. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. You will receive power. That's part of what Jesus meant when he said, all authority. Can you change this county? No, you can't. But with the power of Jesus, you can. Can we change America? Can we change the world? By ourselves, no. We can play around with temporary political, social things. But to truly change it for God's kingdom, yes, we can if it's his mission with his authority, because his authority has power. Now, there's a few things I teach my students about this that I think are important. Number one, it's power for you and I to be faithful, not fruitful. We sometimes get it wrong. We think the most successful missionaries are those who come and tell us about the hundreds that got saved. But what about those who are working hard, sowing the seed, but they've yet to see someone come to Christ? But they're faithful. That's what God's calling us to. Or will you be faithful to sow seed? God will bring the harvest. The parable of the sower tells us that. Will you be faithful? There's a tendency for us to think that they're the super gospel sharers, like Pastor Mike or Brandon or others. But us in the pew, you know, we're not good at this stuff, so, you know, we're not so fruitful. You're thinking wrong. God's not telling you to be fruitful. He'll bring the fruit. He's asking you to be faithful. Will you learn to share your faith and just faithfully do it? God's word doesn't return void. When you share it, you'll be so surprised how God brings in a harvest. So God is giving us power to faithfully share the gospel. That's one part of it. But the other part of this power, you'll notice he says, all authority is given to mean heaven and earth. Heaven talks about the meaning of the heaven is a spiritual power. Often on the mission field, you face spiritual warfare. You may very well face some form of demonic activity. And you need to know what to do with that. You know, sometimes we Baptists, not so good with that, right? We're like, oh, some demonic activity. Are there any Pentecostals around that we, you know, we teach the Bible. We teach the Bible and they do that stuff. No, we have to be ready for all of it. So what I believe the Bible teaches as you watch the model of Jesus and the model of the apostles is that we are proactive in sharing the gospel, but we are reactive when any of these spiritual demonic things happen. We don't go looking for demons. We don't say, all right, we're going to Mexico to Chiapas, where the couple who shared are, so we better find out what are all the demons down there. No, we don't do that. We go in with the gospel. We go in telling the Bible stories, sharing Christ. But if stuff manifests itself, we need to learn biblically how to react to that. So an example of this happened in my life in Madagascar. So I go to Madagascar every year. Our seminary adopted an unreached people group in the bottom south of Madagascar. Now, you've heard that term, unreached people group. So people group is where they have a distinct ethnicity and a language, a shared worldview is a people group. Madagascar has 18 of those. The one that lives way down in the south, they were the most unreached. So the IMB asked us as a seminary, would we adopt them and try and reach them? So this was 10 years ago. I've been going the last 6 years. So 4 years ago when we went, we were storing and telling the gospel because they don't have good education, and so many of them don't read and write very well. So you tell stories. They're very good at remembering stories. You tell a gospel story. You get them to tell it back to you. You read it in the Bible. You say, what do you learn in the story? What do you learn about God? What do you learn about us? What do you think we should do? You just spend a good long time just really camping out on that story till they know the story well. And then you say, now, this is the gospel. This is how we find it in this story. And you make sure it's clear, and then you offer them the opportunity to respond. So we were going around visiting their little houses. They live in very small houses. And one of our teams of students went into a home where there was a lady chained to a small bed. And they said, why is she chained to the bed? And they said, oh, she has a demon. She's normally fine, but we just don't know. All of a sudden, she'll go crazy and she'll run outside and hit people with a stick and break windows and cause chaos. So we just have to keep her. The last 2 years, she's been chained to this bed. Someone has to help her, if she needs the bathroom or needs to go for a walk, we have to hold on to the chain so that she can't break free. So they were a little bit unsure. You know, we typically, when we go around sharing in the U.S., we don't see those situations. So they said, well, we're just going to share the gospel. So they did, told the story, went through questions, just spent a good long time unpacking everything, and said, now, who would like to get saved? Who believes that they understand and would like to? She raised her hand. So part of what you do in storing is, when people want to respond like that, you get them to tell you the gospel back to be sure that they understood it. So let's be sure you understand what you're trying to decide today. And she did. So they prayed with her to receive Christ. That was 4 years ago. She's not had a chain on her for 4 years. 2 months after that, she was baptized, and she's now been an active member in a church there. There's power involved in all authority. When Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you, there's power behind that. And we have to stand in that, because if we don't start there, if it's about me, I have to be honest, I don't live in a world where I see lots of demons and demonic activity all the time. So sometimes for me, it can be intimidating to go into a context like that and feel like, man, there's a witch doctor over here and there's a this over there, and what do I do with this? But if it's God-centered, if all authority comes from Him, if it's His mission, I say, okay, Lord, I'm going to preach the gospel. And if any of this stuff comes in, we'll just deal with it reactively. But we will preach the gospel. Because power is involved when He says that we can change the world because of that power. But the other thing that is involved in this all authority is not just power, but it's also an obligation. Because we like to think, well, I'm free to make my own choice. So when Jesus said, all authority is given to me, so go and make disciples, I like to think, I'll think about that. When Jesus says, well, I need to pray for missionaries, He hasn't called me to go, but I know I'm supposed to pray, I'll think about that. They've given me a prayer booklet, I'll think about using it. No. Does Jesus have all authority over your life? Does He? So if He wants you to pray for missionaries, to give for missionaries to go, or for some of you to go, He has authority. I don't get to say. He has authority over my life. I have to yield to Him. So you've got to think about that, because the staff and the ministers of this church, they're in on missions. They want to do a 365. They want to help this church to reach the world. But the church is not them in the building. The church is you. So His missions in your life, when Jesus says, go and make disciples, does He have all authority in your life? So that you'll pray, you'll give, and if He tells you, you'll go. He has to have all authority. There is an obligation. It's not a suggestion. Luke 9, verse 23 is a verse that connects to that, where Luke 9, verse 23, Jesus says to His disciples, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, if you want to call yourself a disciple, you have to deny yourself. Part of that denial is saying, Lord, here I am. Whatever you say, I'll do. You're Lord. You have authority in my life. So I will pray. I will give. And when you open the door, I will go. It's not a suggestion. It's a divine command. That's what Jesus told us to do. Really, a church to get to that next level in missions requires this. A church can't just rely on a few really excited people on a mission committee or the staff of the church doing it. It needs everybody to be all in, not just for a week of a mission conference, but all in on reaching the world all the time. So don't say, oh, well, I know we've got professionals and it's their job to carry out this command. For me, it might just be a suggestion. No, it's not a suggestion. It is an obligation for all of us. But there's another important part of this that some people are wondering how we do missions, because there are countries today that don't want to let us in. They don't want us sharing about Jesus. I was in a country like that. So what do we do? Remember, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples. You and I have a right to share the gospel across the whole surface of this earth. Nobody, no human authority has the right to tell you and I that we cannot share the gospel. Because Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Well, okay, but if I try to go to a certain country and say, well, I'm here to tell about Jesus, for example, where I was in a Muslim country, then I say, no, you, no visa for you, you can't come in. So we have to do things creatively. We call it creative access, right? That's a cool term, right? We have to think of creative ways. We have to say, okay, we're not going to be offensive, but what are ways we can come to countries and exercise this right to share the gospel? So where I lived, we had to do that. And I'll give you an example. There was one town with about 40,000 people in a desert. It was isolated all by itself, and we had no evidence of any witness there. We didn't know of any Christians, no church, nothing. We thought, what are we going to do? Because if we just go there, they'll say, what are you doing here? In fact, one of our local partners, his name's Abdullah, tried to go there. He took his car with a trunk full of Bibles, and he drove into the middle of the market, and he opened his trunk, and he tried to hand out Bibles, and the police came and told him, get out and don't come back again. So we had to think creatively. So I said to him, okay, you know we have a humanitarian aid company that we all do. We did English language development, sports development. We had a medical center doing medical training and treatment. I taught small business development. We worked in orphanages. We worked in prisons, disaster relief, all these things. So I said, go back to that city and see if there's anything they need. Is there something there that has a need? So he found a tuberculosis orphanage. These are orphans from all the other orphans around, all the other orphanages who have tuberculosis get sent to that orphanage. So I said, find out what they need. So he found out they needed plates and cups, and knives and forks just weren't good. There were all kinds of things they needed help with. So we got a project going to help them. One of the cool things we did was introduce them to Lego. Because in winter, it gets to minus 20 there. And the kids can't go outside. There's nothing to do. They're bored and just watching this Russian television. So we brought in Legos. Five of those big plastic totes at our church in Florida, people collected and sent us. But we had to first teach Abdullah what Lego was, because he looked at this stuff and he was like, what is this? He didn't know what Lego was. So we taught him how to build Lego, and then he went into this tuberculosis orphanage, and he taught them how to make Lego, and he sent us pictures of them all having a Lego building competition. And so the kids were, it was great. It was such a big door in. They were so happy that we were helping. So for actually a six-month period, every week he was in and out. It didn't take long before some people got saved. And a house church started in a place that before was spiritually a black hole, where we were told, you can't share the gospel here. But Abdullah and I, we said, no, you don't have the right to tell us not to share the gospel, because our Lord and Savior said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So you think we can't come, but we're going to find a way. And so through this tuberculosis orphanage, we found a way in. Loving on them, caring for them. He wasn't offensive or trying to force the gospel on them. He just, through the love he showed, opened a door to where people got saved and a church started in a home. Because we would not accept that we can't share the gospel. We have a right when Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. So you've got to make a decision. What does this mean in your life? Because there are still, the IMB tells us, there are still over 7,000 unreached people groups in the world today. That means people groups with very little gospel witness. Essentially what it means is they still need missionaries. They still need people to go and share the gospel. More than 7,000. So we've got to decide. Is this Great Commission? Is this a divine command? Or is it a divine suggestion? And my prayer is that you will make this a command. And you'll say, I'm going to pray. I prayed a little, but I'm going to now pray a lot more. I know I can't go, but I can pray and I can give. But for some of you, you need to go. If Jesus has all authority in your life, you need to go. Some of you need to be praying and saying, God, okay, I'm releasing my life. I don't have control anymore. I will deny myself and I will let you do what you will with my life. Then this becomes the divine command it's meant to be and not just a divine suggestion. If you think about it, if 2,000 years after Jesus spoke these words, we still have 7,000 unreached people groups, then for many churches, this has become a suggestion. We have to change. It has to become a divine command. Now, I can't end without saying this. For some of you, I don't know you, so you know who you are. For some of you, the gospel itself has been a suggestion. You've heard Jesus died and rose again for your sins. You're like, well, okay, I know in my head that I've been told that my whole life, but I'm still thinking about it. You're treating the gospel like a suggestion. Don't do that. The gospel is God's authority for salvation. The gospel is your only hope. You cannot afford to let it be just a suggestion. You need to allow the gospel to have authority in your life. If you're not sure of that, if you're not sure of salvation and that the gospel has that authority in your life, you need to come forward to one of the pastors who will be here and make that clear today. Do not let the gospel just be a suggestion. Give it the authority it needs to have in your life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this amazing opportunity where you invite us to be on mission with you. You invite us to reach the world with you, and you have all the authority for it to happen. You have the power. You've given us the right. And we have an obligation. Father, deliver us from any thinking that makes this a suggestion. And help each one of us to find our particular place in this divine command. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.